the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha, homage to all who are approaching this holy path, homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana, In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
If you're new to practice, you're welcome to get a back track in the corner if you'd like and bring that to your seat. Also, groups on Sunday mornings are recorded and made available to our monthly donors, just so folks know that. What shall we look at this morning? Penny.
I'm involved in an interesting process this weekend. The county has received a draft of a new general plan. In California, counties have to come up with a general plan every 20 years or so. And this general plan has taken 9 years to produce, and about $1 million, and 3 different consultants, 7 different planning directors. It's been just an amazing experience, and it's really very poor. The draft is really very poor, and it's just been it's an interesting experience to be dealing with it. The public is invited to make comments, and I'm part of a group, and we're making comments in various parts of it. And so it's interesting to make the comments clearly without getting into kind of indignant righteousness about it, which arises because it's so badly done. And but part of what I was appreciating was part of what arises for me is, so the company that produced this for the county does this for a living, and so I'm looking at, how does it do this? I mean, how does it get away with this? What makes this company believe that this is an adequate document? It doesn't even meet the basic criteria that the state sets out for such a document. And so what arose for me was a real appreciation for the meticulousness of the practice. Mm-hmm. Because I, on the one hand, I have this document, on the other hand, I have this picture of people in Sangha putting the stamp on the letter just so, you know? And we kind of joke about that, but it represents an attitude of mind, and everything is the Buddha, attitude of mind, where, as Siri says over and over again, nothing is unimportant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what it supports us in is bringing that kind of attention to everything. Mm-hmm. And so I project that somehow, over time, this particular organization was able to not do a very good job and get away with it, mm-hmm. and not do a very good job and get away with it. And what I see as the ramifications is a kind of dulling of attention, or the effect upon someone receiving this, if you know what a general plan is kind of supposed to look like, is it generates a kind of cynicism and a kind of a kind of anger and a kind of what's the point, you know? And I just see how I am feeling ever more appreciative of how practice leads us in the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, how it leads us toward a kind of acute awareness of every step, and how life-affirming that is, how life-giving that is, and how life-dulling it is to go in the other direction.
Yeah. So just really having an appreciation for practice and how it trains us to be in the place of everything is the Buddha. There is nothing that is unimportant, nothing that does not deserve our full attention, and having the contrast of what that's like to be in the presence of something that it sounds like had no one's full attention, and the experience of being in the presence of that kind of the result of that inattentiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And to have no, what I was reminded of is, you know, how we're trained in that conditioned way to think all such things are unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things that are important, things that are unimportant, and indeed, I mean, that the smallest thing
mm-hmm.
has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
On everyone, and to just be reminded of that in this practice, and to see the gift of that, and that, you know, I'm also reminded of a practice I've been looking at recently, of just like, you know, every small step is taking us toward where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if where we want to be is slipshod and ineffective, you know, it's like, it's amazing, isn't it, that
whatever we practice is what we have.
Exactly, that we're taught to believe we can be that slipshod, and, you know, and then it's somehow going to lead to a good end.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I was appreciating was, you know, there are times, you know, that it feels like practice is so persnickety. You get a reminder about this, you get a reminder about that, you get a note about that, but it's never with any attitude. You know, it's simply information.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other projection I have, and based upon my own experience in the world, is that so often what we're taught is either that something we do is ignored, mm-hmm. or we get really slapped for it, you know, and we're bad for that. And so I project that then what emerges, and certainly I know this in my own experience, that what emerges is a kind of, can often emerge as kind of cautious middle of the road. Well, let's see what I can just get away with without getting in trouble, because it's so painful to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the kind of training that, again, that practice provides of pointing out everything,
mm-hmm.
but with no agenda, just pointing it out as information. And the freedom in that to keep moving ahead rather than saying, boy, I'm gonna fly under the radar for as far as I can.
To just receive the information and know it's like the blot dots on the road, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's just telling, hey, you're swerving over there, and may not be where you want to go, and, you know, how helpful that is.
How helpful that is. Yeah, it's just course correction.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really like working with this document is really operating in a different world,
mm-hmm.
and appreciating, well, that's part of the whole world, of course, but also appreciating that the practice supports us in living in a different world,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Or living in the real world.
The real
world. Living in the authentic world.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jen.
I feel like I've been looking at the exact same thing. A couple things that came up in that conversation. One, I was speaking with one of my sisters recently who is involved in healthcare, and so has access right to the very top of the federal level that's going on right now. And we had one of those conversations where, these are kind of my words for it, but you realize, wow, I always thought there were grown-ups who were back there doing this stuff, you know? And it reminds me of, you know, whenever the most recent financial crisis was, where having a similar conversation around, there's just this assumption. There are these grown-ups back there making these decisions. And of course there aren't. There are conditioned human beings.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so she was just talking about how, you know, we all come to it with this, well, I don't know if we all do, but she said she does and I know I do. It's like, well, what do I know? I mean, I'm just, you know, whatever. I mean, and then you walk into these meetings and realize, oh, way more qualified than you know, just because I'm paying attention. But that I was looking at it in relationship with a new opportunity that I have, where, and it's so, I was just recording on it this morning, it's hard to describe, but it's this incredibly freeing place of where, so something like that happens, like realizing, wow, you know, the whole healthcare system, blah, 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 that thing. Or for me, in this particular opportunity, as I go along, there'll be, like, I heard this voice yesterday say something like, oh my God, from now on, I'm going to have to, you know, blah, 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 and it's going to be like this, and it's going to be like that. And I stopped and realized there's something untrue in that. In the sense of, when I'm here, life is always enjoyable, easy, open, unconditionally loving. So when I run up against something like that, you know, like a belief that says, oh gosh, now I'm going to have to this, and now I'm going to have to that, there's something erroneous in that. And that what that... when the foundation of how I'm living my life is awareness practice, then that just becomes an opportunity to see what that is, what's that mechanism that's happening there. There's some unseen belief that's driving something that I'm not seeing. And from that dualistic condition perspective, it's like, oh no, let me get back on the, I'm excited about this opportunity side of things. I like this. This is fun. But from the perspective of awareness practice, it's like, so again, going back to that last conversation or like the healthcare system, it's like, oh, okay, well, the whole thing's messed up. Well, then, you know, oh gosh, then what are we going to do about that? And how are we going to fix that? But from the from the point of view of practicing awareness, there's this much deeper opportunity in it to use it as a chance to step back and just see how that conditioned system is set up in this person, which is the same way it's set up everywhere all the time.
Yeah, that's funny because when you first started to talk, the first thing that arose was we must work out our own salvation diligently.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the opportunity in all of these situations.
Yep.
You say, to just take what's being presented and look at, you know, and just really, you know, look at the mechanism of it, see how that plays out in our own lives, and to know that, you know, like you said, it you know, conditioned mind would want to take it like, oh no, it's going to be like this way forever, you know, either.
I hate this, now my life is this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then coming to center, you know, that's, it's, there's this sense of well-being, you know, and it's a sense of this moment and what we have now.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as you say that, what I see is, so when you take it to like a political level, you know, the county, the federal government, you know, internationally, the whole thing, it's like, I mean, how can that be?
Yeah.
How can that be? That's just terrible. Yeah. It's like, well, I have direct access to how that can be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so amazing.
Boy.
Because if I do that, if I take that opportunity, like, how can that be? Well, let me look.
Yeah.
Because if it truly is all projection, that means that in that moment, in that flash, I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm seeing how it works. And if I can bring that opportunity internally mm-hmm. and transcend it, then, you know, I mean, the tricky part is that then it's like, and then I'll be able to.
Yeah.
But the thing is that just there in that movement, yeah. that's the transformation.
Yeah.
And that in just being that,
yeah.
that somehow is the most revolutionary thing we can do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and, you know, and just that being that. Being there in that, just that, it's transformational, and we don't know
exactly.
we don't know how transformational that is.
Right.
And yeah. you know, it also arises just, you know, a bit of a sense of compassion for knowing.
I was just going to say, you know, the right thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Living in an environment yeah. where the blot dots are pointed out continuously,
exactly. and still
how easy it yeah. is to like go over the yeah. you know the yellow line, and to, you know, to be yeah. in an environment where that's almost encouraged
yeah.
to be in that exactly. kind of unconsciousness.
Exactly.
You know,
I was just talking recently to the guy about that sense of like. Now I've seen this. How come you haven't? Why have you not? I transcended that. What's your problem? You know, and you realize, yeah, after how many years
yeah.
and how many hundreds of thousands of times of seeing it, and you're right, to have tremendous compassion for someone who's not in an environment where that's supported at all, who doesn't even know that's possible, who has no idea that there's anything like that going on,
yeah.
any mechanism of suffering that's mm-hmm. happening.
And may even think they're doing a good job
yeah,
and
exactly.
wonder why it's getting such a bad,
yeah.
you know, feedback.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's funny as you say that, because in my direct experience, just with my little, you know, world, my family or whoever, that from that place of compassion and seeing, we can see the good job part of the program, and that, so, I don't know, let's say you were in that, you were on the federal level of healthcare, you know, and you started to really see from that bigger perspective, you would be able to see the goodness from which people were coming.
Yeah.
And you would be able to speak from that place. Uh-huh. And I project in that people are seen,
yep.
people feel heard, yep. and that from that place, that is the transformation. Yep. Because even without saying anything, people are invited to behave to
yeah.
make decisions from yeah. that place
yeah.
instead of from the yeah. you know, you're working against me and you disagree with me mm-hmm. and you, so now I have mm-hmm. to disagree with you and
mm-hmm. yeah. yeah. And I'm sure we've all had experiences in our lives, I know I have, of coming in contact with someone that just could see what
yeah.
was real with this person,
yeah,
and didn't buy into all the other,
yeah,
and you know, and I didn't know what was going on, but I wanted to be by that person
yeah,
because
exactly.
you know, I just knew they're seeing something I couldn't see,
exactly,
and, you know,
yeah, that there's a, if I understand what you're saying, there's this sense of not being judged,
yeah,
just completely being seen,
yeah.
but at the same time, if it's someone who's really kind of coming from a place of center, it's also not gonna, they're not gonna support
yeah.
a way of being that doesn't support me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the shoddy report.
Yeah.
You know, it would be hey, why don't you take this back? Let's write a good one, shall we?
Yeah.
you know,
and
not from a place of judgment, but from a place of invitation.
Invitation and adequacy, seeing
yeah.
that
exactly.
person, complete adequacy to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 But just, you know, just for this being, what a tremendous difference that's making again to, in this opportunity of like, so it always flips it from like, is this good, is this bad? Oh, it's good. Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's bad. to this thing of like, wow, this is my opportunity to transcend all of it. Because every time anything comes up, there, that's another clue.
Mm.
And I want all the clues I can get. Because
wow.
those are all places where conditioning has the human locked in suffering
wow.
that it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm. It's fun.
It's good. yeah. Karen.
So I've been looking at communication.
Communication.
Which seems like what we're talking
yeah.
about. and speaking out.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know where to begin, which is part of communicating. Where do I begin?
You begin.
And it, so part of it is I can look to see how Karen is in the world communicating, and then bring that home to how Karen communicates with herself and parts mm-hmm. of herself. So that's the what I've seen this morning, especially, and it brought up a lot of emotion.
Yeah, it seems really big to mm-hmm. see, you know, so you're looking at how Karen communicates with the world and seeing how that relates to how Karen communicates internally and mm-hmm. with herself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And speaking up in this group, there's this challenging is what comes up, but I don't really think that describes it. But there is a reticence, there's a fear, there's a, and I don't know what that's about. And so I bring that back to then what part of me is afraid to speak up. In an intimate setting, or mm-hmm. what is it that she wants to share that she doesn't feel free to share, yeah. or she yeah. feels afraid to share.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that it gets projected onto this situation is ironic, because this is the safest place in the world. Mm-hmm. So to look at that projection. Mm-hmm. And so who feels unsafe with in this process? Mm-hmm. And seeing that this morning,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was just brought tears of recognition,
wow.
you know.
Wow. Yeah.
And she feels invisible.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it was perfect when you chose this person and this person. I'm like, oh great, I get to practice with feeling invisible. And it was a perfect opportunity to get in touch with
uh-huh.
that.
Uh-huh.
And how often I will. It's also from an Enya type, to be quiet, invisible, to step back, to let others yield to others.
You know, it's just as was being discussed before uh-huh. you talked, it's like just really getting in there and seeing the mechanism of this whole thing
mm-hmm.
and how wonderful that is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure that if you've used recording and listening with her, mm-hmm. you know, to just take that opportunity to, you know, let her have a recorder
mm-hmm.
and to talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is yet to come. She has even not felt comfortable there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I suspect that is going to change real quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like this afternoon. so there's a lot of grace in that,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is relevant, but it feels important to recognize that conditioning will make a comparison about, let's see, how can I say this? So I truly love hearing the Dharma, hearing the wisdom that is expressed within Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
And I often am, conditioning will compare, you know, how I express myself. And I have had this, bought into that I'm not gifted with words. I don't, you know, the smart factor doesn't really exist here, the intellectual. And that people do have gifts of elocution and speaking, but I recognize how all of that's being controlled
yes.
by just this mechanism that I started out with.
Yeah.
And I've seen that this morning.
Wow. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. where are we getting that information?
Right. You know? Yeah. And it's like, okay, you just are inarticulate. And I remember I said that Sherry once, oh, I wish you were more articulate. She said, well, do you understand what people are saying? I said, oh, yeah, I really do. Well.
I was going to say, and that voice is so helpful to have it screaming in our ear, you are inarticulate. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, if you can imagine being around anybody that was just saying that to us as we were trying to talk.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know? Yeah.
And a lot of it comes from childhood. Uh-huh. Seen, not heard, uh-huh. and just all of it. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of content that points to the process I'm looking at, and I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't encourage you highly enough to just as soon as we leave today to just get that all on the recorder, all of those insights, you know, and I'm. So I was reminded too of hearing about, you know, those parts of ourselves, like you said, that she hasn't even gotten much time on the recorder, and that oftentimes it's a process of building trust, mm-hmm. and that to set regular times mm-hmm. for that mm-hmm. aspect of you know, that you would got in touch with. To have an opportunity to talk, and nothing comes out the first time, mm-hmm. that's a-okay, mm-hmm. you know, and to just, but we'll to just give her here. Regular mm-hmm. Air time, mm-hmm. and to, you know, she knows that it's safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this Karen Drucker song about caring for oneself. I can't think of, I listen to it every morning, I can't even probably remember well, and it's about I'm going to only go as fast as the slowest part of me. And that whole song, you know, I have this morning ritual that I'm doing with these inspirational songs, and that one always just is the best. Because, you know, I really think that's speaking to this part.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then everybody gets to come along. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. No one is left behind. There's mm-hmm. just, Yeah. it's that thing that, I don't know if you ever saw the newspaper clipping about the Special mm-hmm. Olympics, mm-hmm. about the kid that, you know, how one that fell down and wasn't going to make it, you know, to the finish line, and the whole team turned around and, mm-hmm. you know, carried him over, you know, mm-hmm. just, yeah, rather than going for a winner, they all went together.
Mm-hmm. And I have to share this, so I was luxuriating in the comfort this morning and watching the sunrise and conditioning says, I'm afraid to go home. And I thought, you know, always, you know, it's like, the fear arose. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, well, why would conditioning be afraid for me to go home unless it's going to be really threatened? It wants me to believe that, oh, I'm going to go home and fall apart, but actually, conditioning is better, watch out. Because,
she's had a lot of insight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, Rebecca.
Well, that was really helpful. And I'm watching a process around my Enneatype as well in terms of sharing in group. Mm-hmm. And it just came up because, man, when there are things political talked about, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to get in on this, you know. because it's similar experiences and everything, we're just dropping in. And what I saw in that, just that process since the beginning of group, was how the Enneatype 2, everything, at least in my embodiment of it, the identity is about belonging. Mm-hmm. And relation, you know, being in relationship. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it also dropped in how almost every time I talk in group, I feel like I have to connect what I'm going to say to what somebody else in the group has said. Mm-hmm. Like I have to merge. I can't, you know, it's like it would be too abrupt just to say something unrelated to what anybody else has ever said, you know. And that is such an interesting process that, that is now getting examined, you know, what is going on there.
Uh-huh. So looking at enneatypes or personality types, and that, you know, just seeing how, well, first of all, that wanting to jump into the political, you know, conversation like that type, that's just like, wow, okay, I want to get into this. This is something, you know.
Yeah.
And then also just looking at that, is it not okay, or that, you know, would be too abrupt to jump to speak about something that seems unrelated to anything else? There's this need to have to, like, join in or merge with what others are saying rather than...
Yeah, because what I'm seeing as you're reflecting is because it means I belong.
It means you belong. Okay.
And so it's just like the political stuff. It's like, okay, here's where I belong.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, okay, So always just looking for that doorway or that inroad to, like, okay, now, all right. It's almost like, whew, okay, now I know that I belong.
Yeah.
Now I know I'm a part of, because there's something I can relate to. There's some place I can plug in.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the identity that gets reinforced whenever I shares in group in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was, so I saw that, I think in the last share, you know, I was seeing that, the last person talking, and then I heard conditioning come in and try to attach it to the content.
Mm-hmm.
And so take it out of this process that I'm seeing and attach it to the content by saying, well, then you shouldn't share in groups right now, because it would just be you trying to da-da-da-da-da, you know, belong and reinforce that identity.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You see what, you know?
Yeah.
And then what dropped in on this side, so funny when we kind of watched all these, was it's not what, it's how.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
And that's why I put my hands up again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So there they are, conditioning and the mentor, or, you know, mm-hmm. to just how unhelpful it, you know, conditioning is, to just always want to slide in there and take every opportunity to take any input
mm-hmm.
and to make it, you know, turn it into something for suffering.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, especially in the taking it out of process and turning it into content.
Taking it out of process into, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I've been really watching, is how it does that about everything.
Wow.
It. So here's this great process sort of insight or, mm-hmm. you know, recognition, mm-hmm. and then it just, I wish I could think of the right descriptive verb for what it does. It, like, it globs on, or it corrupts it, or it
mm-hmm.
infects it, you know, and makes it about a content.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a whole heck of a lot of room for suffering in content.
Yeah.
And not much in process.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know. So, you know, it's just a master of turning it all into something that is sufferable.
That is such a good point. Shows to me is in kind of understanding ego's self-interest. You know, if we can say something that's not real has a self-interest, but, you know, that because there's a lot of suffering in content.
Yeah.
And just by seeing that, it helps me to watch for it in a way that mm-hmm. always kind of, when you understand somebody's motivation, you know, you kind of watch for what they're trying to do. And so that's really helpful.
Yeah. To just know that anytime it's a piece of content that's starting to be presented and gnawed over, or, that's a flag. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Jen.
Oh. Yes to everything that's happened so far. And yeah, with that last share, I mean, I watched that same process too of the, you know, you need to say something appropriate, it needs to fit in with blah, 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 it needs to be like the censoring and evaluating that goes on the entire time through, like something will arise, well, you probably shouldn't talk about that, well, no, now you better change because now it would be more appropriate to this. And it's just amazing to watch the whole thing, so just... gratitude for Sangha, for all the
true
ways that we can look at all those things. And the place about the, you know, what's going to happen when you go home thing, that conversation is strong right now. And it's been latching onto, I heard Sherry say one time on Open Air, this thing about, you know, when we're out in the world, there's a way that, of course, we're just going to become more and more unconscious. And of course, it's just turning that into, you know, it's foretelling how, you know, completely unconscious I will quickly be in that shoddy world and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And making that a problem. And it's so funny because it's such a duality. I mean, on the one hand, it'll be, oh, I can't wait to go home. It'll be so great. And then, oh, God, it's going to be terrible to go home. It's going to be awful. And, you know, there's just watching on that. But what the mentor has been saying is just reminding me of how it's just a process. You know, it's just step by step. Like, yeah. Yes, I will be completely unconscious, you know, probably pretty quickly. You know, there'll be all kinds of stuff. I mean, it happens here, and of course it's going to happen out in the world. But it's okay. I mean, I also can, you know, I can see that this is a practice, and I can see the shifts that happen over time, and I can see that maybe there's a little bit less unconsciousness, you know, here or there or whatever. Like, each time that I come here for a period of time, I can see how there have been shifts. Not even that there has to be like a progress or something, but I can see that, you know, this person is committed to this practice. Yeah. And so, you know, this person is going to sign up for everything possible to bumper into those road, whatever, the bumps on the road.
Dog walks.
Yeah, whatever they're called. You know, she's going to do everything she can to support herself toward consciousness. And she, of course, she's going to get lost in all this stuff. And it's all okay. Like, there isn't anything wrong with that either. You know, that just is... that's what's coming.
Yeah. Just seeing how, you know, again, conditioning wants to take it, turn it into content, you know.
Yes.
It's going to be okay in this place, not okay in that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was arising is, it's just what we were talking about earlier, you know. It's the one moment at a time, you know, and it's bringing our full attention to what's in front of us now, and that's what we have, and that will open into the next, and you know, who knows what it's going to be like, you know.
Exactly.
This afternoon, let alone, you know, when one
right,
goes
exactly.
one goes home,
exactly.
And you know,
exactly.
And yeah, so yeah. Just in. And you're seeing that, oh my gosh, you know, this person is committed to practice.
Yeah.
And is practicing right now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's the, it's the this here now, you know, it's in the, it's coming up, but, you know, in the bathroom, I mean, there'll be this place of like, you know, oh, do you really have to wait until the toilet water stops running? Do you really have to hurry up and go do this other, like, I'll watch this thing and like, but that's it, like every moment. No, you know, that because that's the guidance to be here and wait until the toilet water stops running before you leave the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, like that, it's practicing it right here as I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, am I attentive? Am I here? You know, instead of, you know, well, what's going to happen out in the blah, blah, blah. It's, well, you know, right here.
And it's that thing about no big or small things.
Yes.
Like the toilet water is not that important, you know.
Right.
It's like, you know, the running of the water and the...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No. Yeah. They're all just... Exactly. Yeah. I had this thing one time. I don't know if I'll talk to the mentor about it, I guess, but... One time when I was leaving here, I was looking at, like, it would be so great when I was going back out into the world to practice with washing my hands, just to shut off the water when you're soaping your hands, and then, you know, because I notice how that's just one, you know, one of the million places I can see where when I get back out into the world, conditioned mind talks me out of that. Oh, God, you know, you can keep the water going while you're doing your, you know, and that kind of stuff, and it just points to that place, so... I don't know, maybe that will be a practice that I'll take on just to look, like, wait, am I here? What's going on?
And, and that place of everything is the Buddha.
Yes.
You know, the water is the water.
Yeah, mother. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So, many good things to look at.
Yeah.
It's a gratitude.
Thank you. Nikki.
So I was looking at something this morning, and it feels like it's tied into everything that's been said today, and... I guess really it's compassion is what I was looking at, because I was looking at how, you know, when I have an opportunity to interact with someone else, like it might be in a facilitation setting or it might be just somebody in the world, and being in that place where the other person is kind of stuck in one of their places they get stuck in, and seeing so clearly how they're stuck there, and you know how the practice would be to drop that into, you know, and then I find myself in one of my places where I'm stuck and go, yeah, it's clear, and it's just not happening. You know, I know what this is and I know what to do, but it's so real, I just, you know, and so I thought, so, you know, when I'm with those other people that are in that place, you know, just to bring that level of understanding of, yeah, it's clear, and yeah, we know, but it isn't always easy, and to, you know, to bring that place of, yeah, that's what we're up against. Yeah. That's what we deal with. And I'm relating it back to where we started this morning too, is, you know, okay, so this is a terrible general plan and I've got to take my part in telling them that, but at the same time, I don't know what was going on in all the people's lives who were producing that and what the machinations were about, okay, this is the deadline and you got to have it out by then. I don't care what, you know, I don't know what was going on. So, yes, I still have to do my part and say this is not going to adequately serve our county, but to have some compassion for, I don't know what went on. That produced this,
In the same way, you know, with the general plan, as you know, you're seeing that compassion comes from others, just from that place of knowing for yourself what it's like to, you know, be stuck in a process, and you have all this great information, and you know it's just about dropping the story, and you see how really difficult it is, even with all of the practice, of the support. And to how that just, you know, generates that compassion for others that, you know, get stuck in the same place or similar places. And how can, and in the general plan, you know, just seeing that place of saying, it sounds like just saying what's true for you, but coming from a place of not making others wrong, you know, because you don't know. You have no idea, as you said, of what came before. And how that plan came to be, and just sharing your experience of it now.
You know, I don't know. I just keep coming back to that place of I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with other people. I don't know what they're facing. I don't even know what's going on with me. You know, I don't know why does this keep. Why do I keep tripping over this one? I don't know. I do. So in the moment I'm tripping over it, can I just have compassion for, there I am again. There's the being again, being assaulted by that same thing. And, you know, and she's really working on it. And who knows why it's, you know.
Just really coming to that place of I don't know. You know, I don't know why this being keeps having this, you know, tripping over this. And I don't know why others keep, you know, are tripping over, or, you know, to just really coming, always coming back to that, I don't know.
And, you know, as I was just hearing that, I was thinking, and coming back to that place of a little take as long as it takes, you know, okay, great, I've been working on this particular content for what seems like forever, and I'm still working on it, so... Okay, I will until I'm not, you know? And then I go, okay, and so this general plan has been in the process for 9 years. It's still not good. It'll take as long as it takes till we get the kind of plan this county needs. If it takes, it's gonna take. It has taken, but anyway, you know, it's like whatever is what it needs to be in order to get to where it needs to go.
whatever it is what it takes to be in order to get where it needs to go.
Or something like that. That's just what came out of my mouth. You know, it's sort of that coming back to, well, this is what is. Mm-hmm. This is what is.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be any better if I hate it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, you know, that's what just arose, that place of all the suffering's in that place of resistance and, you know, like, oh, this should be different and, you know, and then it's kind of that arrogance too, like, I could have done it better, or they're doing it wrong, or, you know, and just to come back to that, well, I don't really know. This may be the plan, you know?
Maybe.
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 Yeah.
Who am I to say?
Lakota.
It was a really fun experience last Tuesday in group. It's like I got to see all of practice, and this is one little interaction between, God, I just love Sangha. It's so, like, it's so helpful listening to other people.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's just so much to see. This person was talking about kind of being, maybe being asked by practice or by the guide or by whatever to look at letting go at an ever deeper and more subtle level. Like an incredibly, it sounded like to me, like an incredibly subtle level. And I suddenly got so identified with resistance that was just like, no! You know, like, oh, is there nothing that is safe? You know, like, I'm not going to be able to ask to let go of everything. You know, like, ah. And it was just like, and it was funny because the person that was talking about a little bit about that experience of ego resistance, like digging the heels in, like, no, 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 no. And I was totally out of that.
And you just went to that place.
But then the person was talking with the person facilitating about seeing that and the willingness to, like, meet it, like, okay, you know, that this is what life is presenting, and this is the opportunity to transcend that resistance. And at that moment, I just projected, like, I was, like, blown away. I was like, oh my gosh. These people are so on board with this. I cannot believe how completely and profoundly they have made that leap from identification with resistance to being on board with the target. Like, whoa. I just felt like, yeah, I don't know, I felt like I was in the room with, like, you know.
In the whole while not seeing how that person is making the leap.
It was happening,
you know,
right
how
there.
It's happening right
but
there.
It was like a little kid at the Major League Baseball game. Yeah. The Olympics, look at these, like, standing next to these elite athletes, like, oh, these people are, I can't believe it. I can never, you know, that kind of thing.
And he's doing it.
But
not being able to see that he's doing it.
Well, yeah. And then after that, it was so beautiful because it was like, all these different elements of practice, these practice tools we have, just kept sliding in. Uh-huh. So, like, there was the mentor who came in and said, hey, you know, remember owning projection? We were to play with that one for a little bit. I saw that, you know? And then it was like, hey, wait a minute. There's all kinds of incredible places where you have, like, met intense resistance, uh-huh. and were just completely dug into this thing, uh-huh. and then found the willingness and the courage to start asking questions and to loosen it up, and then found the willingness and courage to reach out and seek support, uh-huh. and then there was remembering, like, I totally did that last year with this amazing life-changing content, uh-huh. and I reached out and I got a Zen awareness coach, then there was like, oh yeah, and I have recordings about that. So then I went back and I was listening to these recordings of the work I was doing with the Zen Awareness Coach last year, and huge shout out for that program. It's amazing. But you know, that program helped a person that was already, like, you know, reaching escape velocity. And then it was just like, pow! Right through, like, just right through something. It was like a lifelong addiction, you know? It was just like, I never thought I'd be free from this thing, ever. And completely free, completely follow it. Mm-hmm. And then, so all week long I've been going back and I've been listening to those recordings mm-hmm. and that whole process of that mm-hmm. person still clinging, like, oh, I don't want to let go just yet. You know? And that whole thing. But like mm-hmm. that hearing that deeper level, that heart knowing, like, I will. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I will do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. That was the promise I made and I will do it. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. it's been profound. And then it was funny because I didn't hear it that night in group. A part of that conversation that was totally left out of the one that got identified with resistance, but that came back later in this place of incredible compassion, was that part of that conversation was that that letting go at those really subtle levels happens in life's time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's not like we're gonna. It's not like practice is gonna like. I don't know, there's that one quote about something about God like swinging us around by the hair before we let go.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there does feel like that is that experience. But like there is it happens when we're ready, you know. Yeah. And you know, maybe right now I'm working with whatever I'm working with now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not even ready to see this. Actually, I probably won't even see the thing that I'm not.
You know, that's what's just arising for me.
It wouldn't
you know?
Arise into conscious awareness. But yeah. the thing that has arisen into conscious awareness now has arisen because it's life's time. You know?
Yeah.
We're adequate to it, and it's mm-hmm. you know just and it doesn't have to be all overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, what am I working with now? Oh, I can totally work with this.
Yeah, to just see how it's in life's time. And, you know, only conditioned mind would want to take it and make it into this big, like, you're going to have to let go of, you know, something that's just, you know,
or
incomprehensible.
All at once. Yeah.
Yeah, and all at once. And, you know, you made that great point. Who knows what's really going on? You know, who really knows what's kind of, you know, letting go is happening? You know, as long as it's going through this filter, that's the narrative, you know, the commentator that's letting you know, what's been, what you can let go and what you can't let go of. Who knows, you know, what's actually taking place. And to just see that we're not, life doesn't demand that we let go of anything until it's time for it to be let go of. Yeah.
And then going back and listening to those recordings, it was so clear that process of letting go that it was so shut down around was totally joyous. It was totally joyous. It was fun. It was like, it felt great, you know? So it's like, there really is no problem with any of this.
No, No problem. In fact, it's joyous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's joyous. And just letting go and letting it happen in life's time and, you know, being there for it. Yeah. Thanks, Lakota. Scott.
I was just having that experience I've talked about before where I just put all my attention on someone I project is lit up and I'm right there.
Uh-huh.
That was really great.
Mm-hmm. One of the benefits of Sangha.
It is. Yeah. It is really amazing. Mm-hmm. I was laughing too about the conversation about what it'll be like when I go home because I'm not going home anytime soon. And I have this conversation.
Anything as long as it's not here.
Yeah. It actually brought some levity to it. It exactly just how irrelevant any conversation about the future just truly is. And, just kind of what arose right now is compassion for the guy who keeps, you know, getting caught in that. You know, there's nothing wrong with him because it happens. It just, I just wanted to share something I thought was pretty cool yesterday that I hadn't seen in quite the same way. I'm also a 2 on the Enneagram, and that karma around belonging and being liked is always kind of around. And I had a situation where I got really triggered in that karma. And I could just feel the rush, like all the chemicals in my body around it. And I didn't really know what to do. And well, I kind of have to go to the bathroom. And I like caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror. And I just stopped. And then it was like, well, I could hear this, like, well, maybe we should get on the recorder with the mentor, which is incredibly helpful to do. And I know this so well that I don't need to get on the recorder and mentor anybody through this. I heard, no, I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to this story about I'm not likable to this, okay. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost like not a mentoring situation sometimes, where it's almost like nurturing ego through something. And I heard that statement through a facilitator once, and it must have just really hit me about how they'll be in a situation facilitating and they just know their karmic spots and they just say, I'm not, you just have to have this really firm line, I'm not going there. And it wasn't anyone trying to do that. It just seems super clear. And I said that, and it was a resolve or like a yes, I'm not going there. And I could feel a little bit of the stuff in the body still trailing around. Like, well, that's okay, but I'm still not going there. And then I went back to the situation that I was in where I got triggered, and it was just a completely different world.
Wow.
It was just, it was that thing where if you don't go there with conditioning, everything else is open to you.
Wow. So just really having that experience of a certain piece of karma being triggered, you know, they have something to do with your personality type, and instead of going to the recorder, you saw, well, it's so tricky, isn't it? I mean, you saw that it would be reinforcing ego to just get into the story.
It felt like it.
It felt like that. It felt like it would be to just have that insight. And to just, what arose is, I'm not going there.
Yep.
You know, I'm just not going there. I'm not going to indulge of that story. It sounds like it's been talked about.
It's been explored.
It's been explored. Been there, done that. And there was the presence to know that maybe there might not be so much value in exploring it again.
Yeah.
And to feel the tug and the pull to, you know, kind of stay with the story, but nope, not going there. And then to revisit the situation that had triggered that karma and have a completely different experience of it. One might say because that hadn't been massaged or, you know,
reinforced.
It hadn't been reinforced.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So as you say, it just opened up a whole realm of possibilities that wouldn't have been open in that place of, I got to work with this part of me. And
you know what I was seeing, though, is that faith to say, no, I'm not going there, and to turn to what ego thinks is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, or just, you're just falling off the cliff or whatever if you give up me, basically.
Yeah.
The faith that is not so and that everything is available happens through the practice that I do every single day. And through all those mentoring times that were authentic. You know, so there was that, no, I'm not going there, and the reason I could do that is because I know that there's incredible support on the other side because I've experienced that over and over.
Boy, we're back at the letting go part, aren't we?
Yeah.
In a way, you know, it's like we're not called to let go of anything until it's time. And, you know, you've been exploring this and working with it, and that there was this whole foundation, and when the time was right, there was just that knowing that was the, you know,
the next
step.
Yeah, and as you were saying to someone else, I do have that insight on the recorder, and I'm going to put that on. I make like a weekly mix of things I'm really focused on, because I want to keep going back to that place, so that becomes the habit. No, I'm not going there on things that it's really clear, like the situation.
Thank you all.
I don't know where we're out of time.
Yeah. Thank you.